Take your Bible this morning, please, and turn in your scriptures to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm going to really only read two verses of scripture from this passage. I'm going to talk today on the subject of personal stewardship. I will let you look in a moment on your screen at some other scriptures. But I want the heart of my comments today to be out of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. As we are studying through the book of 1 Corinthians, we come to this text on this particular Sunday. And it is a text that deals with our stewardship. I almost prepared for you a handout. It is going to be just really simple, but I pray that God the Holy Spirit will take what is written on printed text and make it alive and real in your heart and mind as we consider that we are stewards. If we're saved people, we're stewards of all that God entrusts to us. You agree with that? Amen. All right. Before I read the scripture, I want to give you something as a somewhat of an introduction. And if you keep notes, and I would suggest that when you go to church, that you do two things. Before you get there, you ask God to speak to your heart. Is that fair? Yes. Well, I don't know about you, and I wouldn't dare say that you have no better memory than me. But listen to me. If I pray and ask God to speak to my heart, I ought to take something to write down the impressions God gives me during the message so I won't forget that. That's the second thing we ought to do if we're serious about wanting to hear from God. Pray and ask God for something. And if you go to church and you keep going to church and you don't get anything, one or two things is happening. You either aren't asking for anything or not much is being put out. And heaven knows I'm going to answer to God for the time that you spend in this room. And if I don't make it worth your while to come, God will judge me for that. So I want to speak the word of God. I want to speak it in a way that can help me and my walk with Christ and you too. Fair enough? First thing I want to talk to you about before I read the scripture is whether or not there is a foundation for biblical stewardship. So I call this just foundation for biblical stewardship. Now let me give you something that's a little bit humorous, and that's not, you don't have to write this down. Many people believe that the first law of Christian economics is that you don't pay retail for anything. I don't find that in the Bible. I think that's just trying to be frugal. You're trying to handle what God gives you in an appropriate way. And so just as a little humor, maybe you're one of those that you just don't pay retail. You wait till it's truly on sale. And by the way, for something to be on sale, it has to be more than the four letters S-A-L-E in the window. That doesn't mean it's for sale. But anyway, having said that, I could get the meddling. Let me talk again about the foundation, though, for biblical stewardship. Most of the Christian teachers that I know who teach on the subject of stewardship acknowledge four basic truths. And I'm just going to give them to you and move on, okay? Here are the four basic truths that are acknowledged, which makes up the foundation for biblical stewardship. Number one, we, all of us, possess something of value. It may be a tricycle, might be a bicycle, it might be you just fill in the blank. That's the first thing. We all possess something of value. Number two, the things we have are given to us by our Creator. I'm going to repeat that. The things we have are given to us by our Creator. We didn't get it apart from God's help. Now, I heard a little sarcastic comment one time that was written, I read about it, of a guy who was told, "Boy, your garden is beautiful. God has really blessed that." And the guy says, don't laugh at this, the guy says back in return, "Well, God may have, but you ought to have seen it before I got a hold of it." I had a Baptist deacon, thank God he wasn't one of mine, that made this statement in my presence 30 plus years ago before I was ever your pastor. He said, you know, I wonder why we sit down and return thanks for food that we worked and earned money and bought. Why do we give God thanks for that? Now, I didn't say what I'm about to say to you because it wouldn't have been appropriate. But I wanted to say, you idiot. Do you have any idea who keeps your heart beating in your chest? Do you have any idea who gives you the muscle strength to work? Some people have a heart beating in their chest and they can't pick up a hand off of a chair because they're paralyzed. Do I need to explain to a Baptist deacon or anybody else why we give thanks to God who really, that second principle, has given us the things we have? They've come from our Creator. He has made possible that we can think and move and breathe and know how to do in order to obtain what we've obtained. That just seems like the most obvious thing to me in the world. Number three. Third foundation. We are stewards of these assets. Now, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, if they came from the result of God's blessing, then He is responsible for giving it to me, and I am to understand that He's made me a manager. That's what a steward is, somebody that manages what belongs to somebody else. I'm to be the steward of these assets. And the fourth and final one. As stewards, we are accountable to the one who gave them to us. As stewards, we are accountable to the one that gave them to us. Now, you know this is in the Bible, but I want you to see it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found. What's that last word? Faithful. Can we say that again? Faithful. Now, I'm just going to repeat it for emphasis' sake. Moreover, it is required, not suggested, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now, those are the four acknowledged truths that form the foundation of biblical stewardship. Now, if you don't have to accept those. But if you don't, then there's no basis for you to accept anything else the Scripture has to say. Because you will work yourself into a system that says, what I have is mine, I got it, God had nothing to do with it, and it's none of God's business what I do with it. If you reject that, that's what you're saying. And there are some people that really believe that. I knew a man one time in my hometown. I won't mention what business he was in, but it was a noble business. And he said, I don't owe God anything. I pull myself up, said he, by my own bootstraps. That guy, I hope he doesn't still feel that way. That's foolish talking. Now, that's the foundation for biblical stewardship. Let me just share with you something, and you'll see it on your screen, that Jesus repeated in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, he repeated the law of Moses as the basis for every action in life. So look at on your screen at Matthew 22, verse 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang just about all the law and the prophets. Is that what that reads? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus repeated the law of Moses to say, that if you and I want to know how we are to respond to Him and to one another, that is the basis of it. And so with that stated, I want to move into, having left now the foundation for biblical stewardship, I want to talk about the guiding principles for stewardship. What are the guiding principles? I want to give you four of those. Number one, stewardship is a spiritual matter. It's not just a financial matter. Stewardship is a spiritual matter. In Matthew 6:21, notice your screen, the scripture says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, do you see that on the screen? Isn't it interesting that this text did not say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be? Look where your treasure is. Look how you spend what God entrusts to you, and it will tell you where your heart is. Isn't that interesting that he would make that statement? Do I love the Lord God? Then what do I do for the Lord God compared to what I do for my own selfish interest? Do I spend more on me than I do my wife? That tells me something about what you think of her. I met on one occasion, I've probably done this more than one occasion, but I'm thinking of an occasion, where one of the great squabbles I was dealing with a family, and families do squabble, the fellowship gets tense among Baptists. Now, I don't know about the other groups, but Baptists will have some tense fellowship. And here was the bottom line. He got a new vehicle every year. She still drives something that's several years old. And she said, I'm tired of it. You say, well, boy. She called him on the carpet. Wasn't that a little selfish? I don't know what was in her heart, could have been, but it was indeed a public statement that I'm going to drive something new every year, and she can just drive whatever I provide for her, and she ought to like it. After all, she gets to live with me. Doesn't that sound good? Y'all not laughing because I'm funny. Y'all have known some like that. If Jesus said, you want me to tell you the condition of your heart? Listen to your words, for your words proceed out of your heart. Jesus said, you want me to tell you something about where your heart's treasure is? Look at how you invest what God has shared with you, and it will tell you that you really like that. That's what's in your heart. I didn't say that. That's what Matthew 6, Jesus speaking. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. This is not Father's Day. It's not intended to be. I'm sure there wouldn't be an esteemed group of people like this, a man who's ever fussed about money his wife spent while he was taking a hunting trip for more than $2,500. He got a little bushed out of shape because she spent $500. I know that wouldn't happen here. I'm wasting my time. We will examine the cushions after you leave, see which ones have a buttonhole worked in them. Folks, Christian stewardship has to do, are you listening? It has to do with the gospel that is in our hearts. It doesn't make a rip what Brother Wayne quotes about the gospel, or we say in our heads we believe. It's about the heart. So number one, stewardship is a spiritual matter. Number two, the Christian's need to give is greater than another person's need to receive. You see, nobody can give till somebody else receives, and the emphasis of my heart ought to be on my need to give. Concentrate on the need of the giver to give rather than on another person's need to receive. Why? Because giving adds meaning to a person's life, and it reflects priorities among God's people. You do some things because that giving does something to the quality of your life. It brings meaning to you, and it blesses you to get to do it. Some years ago, a guy named Ted Turner, many of you will know Ted Turner and know of him. He wasn't at the time awarded the award for the greatest known Christian in America. In fact, he made a public statement that the Ten Commandments ought to be done away with. And he substituted 10. That's been many years ago now. And Dr. Albert Moeller, who I think was at the Christian Index at the time, wrote an editorial on the Ted Commandments. But he gave $1 billion to the UN, to the United Nations. Now, you forgive me if this sounds political, but if I hear of anybody giving $1 billion to the UN, I think, first of all, what a waste. What a waste. But Ted Turner, whom at the time, and I don't know now, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, but based on a guy that wants to do away with the Ten Commandments, at the time, I don't believe he'd have known Jesus if he'd have met him in a phone booth. Ted Turner said, you give some things at times for the sake of your own heart. And I remember reading that quote of his, and I thought, my soul, Ted Turner doesn't know God, or didn't at the time, and he knows more about stewardship than many of the people I preach to on Sunday. Folks, the issue of stewardship is that I need to give, and at times I need willingly to do without for the sake of something to do with the cause of Christ. It doesn't hurt me to be pinched occasionally. I don't like it. I remember years ago we had acquired actually the building right next door. It was just that building. We hadn't acquired this one. We just acquired that one. And I was driving a Ford Explorer that I had bought new here. Bought it from Brother Jacko. I sold that car, took a little equity out of it, and bought a car a number of years old and gave the rest of that to that building. And I noticed that I went through emotional backflips because cars, we know what cars or automobiles are for. Reliably go from point A to point B. Now, you can talk the rest of the day, but a good automobile is to get you from one place to the other. But that's not just what they are anymore. They are status symbols. They are comfort. They are plush. They are quiet. And a new smelling car just smells better than one that's about 20 or 25 years old. And I found myself, and I remember what the Lord put in my heart as I would get in that car and drive around. Oh boy, you ought to have done this because you had gotten too comfortable with what you was driving. Folks, it's a good thing when we remember that our need to give is greater than somebody else's need to receive. Thirdly, giving is an affirmation of our salvation. Now, how could that be possible? Well, everybody in this room can quote a certain verse in the Gospel of John in the 3rd chapter, and that verse starts with the word what? Starts with the word, for God so loved the world that he gave. Let me tell you something. Giving is an affirmation of your salvation. Listen, when you're full of yourself, that's pride, and you do only for yourself, that's pride. And Brother Wayne is never more like the devil than when he's proud. And you and I are never more like the Lord Jesus than when we give. God so loved the world that he gave. Last principle for stewardship is sincere giving advances God's kingdom through his church. Jesus loved his church. Now, he doesn't just love Morningside. He loves any faithful church that's faithful to the gospel. But folks, it is through his church where baptized people who've been saved come together for the purpose of preaching the gospel and making disciples and carrying out the ordinances of the Lord's Supper and baptism, caring about each other, helping each other up when we fall down. We advance that kingdom both at home and around the world through our stewardship. Now, it takes a lot more than money to have a strong church. But you can't have a church, folks, without some money. You just can't do that. The buildings have to be cleaned. The lights, unless you want to maybe bring a flashlight, the lights have to be on. The bathrooms need to be flushable. Nobody wants to go to a church that way, particularly in this culture. We go to Walmarts that are very nicely painted. We go into our other stores, and they look presentable, and the church has got to have some. Well, when Brother Wayne is willing to tithe, but don't ask me for anything else, because I had rather take my 10-year-old Ford truck and update it then the church is never going to be what the church ought to be until I understand that because I want it and because I can afford it, remember, that is not my truck. That's the Lord's truck, because we established that one of the four outstanding acknowledgments about biblical stewardship is that everything that comes to us came from our Creator, and we are a steward of it. So the truck I drive is His truck. And the money this church is gracious to give me for the work I do in a week's time is His money. So I need to say to the Lord, how do you want me to spend my money? Now, we hear Him in the distance, we think, saying, buy your truck, update your truck, get your new truck. But when in reality, if I'm not afraid to let Him be Lord, He might say, Wayne, just kind of put that on the back burner. That's not going to cost you a marriage with Beth, and that's not going to cost you any relationship with your children, and your church won't think a bit less of you. So put that on the back burner and take money you could do something for yourself and do extra money, because after all, that is mine. And for my name and my church, we want the church to be made strong, and sincere giving, that stewardship, advances God's kingdom through His church, but it won't advance God's kingdom through the church when none of us won't be put out anything. Through the years, I've had people tell me all kinds of stories. I've got 5 credit cards maxed out. Folks, if you got 5 credit cards maxed out and you're paying the minimum every month, Donald Trump can't get them paid off. It is amazing, when credit cards are maxed out and you pay the minimum, how many years you'd have to live to pay one off. And folks, what that means in me or you, and I'm not fussing, I'm just talking about us, I'm just being brutally honest with us, is that generally that's a lack of discipline. I want it, and I got to have it, because this society says you deserve it. You deserve it. You work hard where you work. That is your money. And if you're lost, it really is your money. But if you belong to God, He went to a cross and bought you. Ye are not your own. You are bought with a price. Then because He bought me and He shares with me, I check in with Him to see, can I do this now? Do I need to wait a while? Can I do this now, or is there something else you'd rather me do? I want, Lord, how I handle what you entrust to me to be a blessing to you and me. And if I get selfish with it, it's going to be hard for that to happen. Sincere giving advances God's kingdom through the church. Let me give a testimony. Many of you remember this. It's probably been at least 25 years ago. On a given midweek night, Bill Sturm is preaching a revival. We're in the other building. And I remember who the guy was. Stood up in the choir, seated approximately where John Arnold is seated right there. And he said, Pastor, I want to say something. He said, God's had it on my heart about the future of this church. And he said, I want to begin to give, and I'm going to give seriously, and I'm going to give more than I've ever given. And I just want to encourage the rest of the church that we need to move on, and this church needs to be what God wants it to be. And I just want to encourage you to do what I'm doing. He didn't give any amounts or anything. In 8 days, I counted the days because this don't happen every day. In 8 days, not counting the regular church offering and not counting the special offering that went to Bill Sturm that people gave, in 8 days, this church took in $80,000. I had not preached on stewardship. I don't recall Bill Sturm preaching on stewardship. It was a matter of, in the Word of God, people began to deal with the fact that I belong to God. Everything I have belongs to Him. At any point in time, He can stop my ticker. And I don't want to live and not live in His will and purpose. And people just began in their hearts to surrender. Lord, I want to take my hands off of what really belongs to you. And so it's amazing when God gets loose among the people's lives, what happens in every aspect of their life. Now, I've saved the final to this. This is the third major heading. We've dealt with foundations for biblical stewardship. We dealt with guiding principles for stewardship. Here, out of 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, is how we practice biblical stewardship. Practicing biblical stewardship. And he gives us six admonitions. And they're very brief. Look at them. In verse 1, he said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints." Y'all know what a collection is? The older people in the church I grew up in, they didn't say we're going to take an offering. They said we're going to take a collection. That means you're going to pass the plate. He said, "As I've given order to the churches of Galatia," I'm going to tell you the same thing he said I told the churches throughout the Galatia area. "First of all, upon the first day of the week, giving," if you write this down, "giving is an act of worship." They gave on the first day of the week. Folks, what's the first day of the week? You mean it's Sunday? Has it always been Sunday? Yeah, it's the first day of the week. So giving is an act of worship. That means it's spiritual. We've already talked about that. Number two, if you give on the first day of the week, giving on the day of worship makes it systematic, so giving is systematic. You're going to give on the first day of the week, the day of worship. It's systematic. Don't have to wonder how we're going to do this, when's it going to happen. If we give when we worship, we will give regularly. Thirdly, he says in verse 2, now look at it, "Let how many of you," say it out loud, come on, don't be gun shy, let's stay together, everybody breathe, okay? I'm not going to have guards at the door and ask you for money today, So he says, "Upon the first day of the week, let what? Every one of you." Folks, giving is for every believer. It's universal for all God's children. So thus far, we've said giving is an act of worship. It is systematic, and it's for every believer. "Now let every one of you," what's the next phrase? "Lay by him in store." Giving here requires discipline, because when he says lay by him in store, he says set aside something. That's what he's saying. And the subject of that is you. You set aside something. Pastor doesn't need to tell you what to give. Let God tell you what to give. You'll be happy about it. You'll resent me doing that. So let's repeat. Giving is an act of worship. Giving is systematic. Giving is for every believer. And giving requires discipline if you're going to set aside something. That's before the snow skiing trip. That's before you update your truck. That's before you fill in the blank with other non-essentials. Now, number 5. "Let every one of you lay by him in store," next phrase says, "as God hath prospered him." Folks, giving is based on God's blessing. You give as God has prospered you. Now, we know elsewhere in the both Old and New Testament, the Old Testament required or commanded tithing. Get in the book of Matthew, and Jesus commended tithing. So he was for it. And so when he says that you ought to give as God has prospered you, if God prospered you $100, you can give God $10. If God prospered you $10,000, you can give God $1,000. Do it on the basis of how you've been prospered. You don't have to give what somebody else gives. And let me just say this for the record, and I know what we're talking about, and I'm almost in that age group, so let me just say this and understand I'm just helping us with terminology. It is not uncommon that you find somebody my age make this statement: "We live on a fixed income." I'm not in any way making light of that or anything other than, folks, what do you think Brother Wayne lives on? You think I tell him on Mondays how much I want for the week? Everybody that works a job, unless they're in a retail sales, if in retail sales, now your income will change. But if you get a paycheck from a company, you're on a fixed income. Now, what we mean by that is when you retire, your fixed is less than it was when you was working. But be careful that you don't leave an impression that you're on a fixed income because you're retired. No, we're all on a fixed income unless we're in retail sales. You say, well, what difference does that make? How you say something tells how you think it. And you leave the impression that a person who's working can give any amount of money they want to. Not necessarily so. You don't know what they make, and I don't either. So we're all fixed. Giving, then he says, is based on God's blessing. It's proportional to your income. You can't give what you haven't received, but you can withhold a portion of what you have received. Lastly, and we're through. This is the sixth thing. The next phrase said, lay by him in store as God has prospered him that. You see the word that, you think of a purpose clause. That there be no gatherings, no offerings taken then when I come. He says, plan your giving in advance, that there be no gatherings when I come. It'll be there time I arrive. We won't have to worry about it then. Folks, can I just say something about this? Folks, it's only because of the grace of God in my heart at 15 years of age when I got my first real job, I started tithing. I've not been perfect at anything, but if I've come close, it's been in there of tithing and giving. Now, I may have missed God a whole bunch on the giving part, but I've tried never to have God's tithe in my pocket. I always felt like a thief if I did that. My old daddy, bless his heart, he'd tell me, son, I can't afford to tithe. And we talked about that for quite some time, and he said to me one day, he said, son, you know, you mentioned that tithing to me. He said, I don't know how it works, but I started trying that, and my nine-tenths goes farther than the whole dollar did to start with. Folks, that's just what God does. And what I've tried to do, we get paid here the end of the month and the 15th of the month, and so when I got paid, I went ahead and tithed at the first of the month for the whole month. I don't want to die and be holding some of God's tithe in the bank account. That don't mean Beth wouldn't give it when I'm gone. She would. But I just want to be paid up. I want to render back to him, yield back to him. I don't want heaven to say, well, you know, when Wayne came ushered into my presence, he had some of my money back in the bank account. I want the Lord to have all that's his. And so plan your giving in advance. Folks, other than a health crisis, we plan most everything else. Did anybody ever, now you can participate, I'm being a little bit silly, but participate with me, okay? Let's be silly. Anybody ever go on a vacation? Would you raise your hand? I'm not calling on you to speak, okay, hands down. Did you ever leave home one day and you had a tank of gas, but other than that, you didn't have a penny in your pocket, but you headed out somewhere on vacation. Did you do that? No. You planned in advance. Folks, we plan most everything in advance. And sometimes we do activities on God's nickel and say, Lord, I hope to get caught up later. Bad deal. Principles of stewardship. Now, question. Now, you know your pastor loves you. Boy, I didn't bring an amen, did it? If you don't know Jesus, I want you to be saved. You got to worry about the pocketbook later. If he gets your heart, he'll get your pocketbook. But I do want to ask every saved person this question in regard to stewardship. What kind of church would my church be if all of its members was just like me? Father in heaven, I don't want any blood money in my bank account or in the bank account that you've let me have. And I do want to deal properly with what you possess that's under my name. And Lord, one of these days, as I continue down this journey, I want to have handled your property like you want it handled. You've given me everything that I possess. I'm not going to take any of it to glory with me. So I want to be faithful here as one of your stewards. Lord, I have been privileged to be the pastor of these folks a long time. They've been some of the sweetest, dearest, and at times the most generous people in the world. But Lord, regardless of whether they think I have or not, you're looking at my record right now, and you're looking at the records of everybody in here. You know whether or not we're skinflints, if we're stingy. You know whether or not we're trying to kind of hitchhike our way to heaven. Lord, what we're really doing, if we're trying to do that, is that we're robbing ourselves of the most wonderful blessing in the world. And I pray that grace, not Brother Wayne, but grace, would with love and mercy motivate their hearts and help them to see how abundantly they are blessed and what treasures you have given us that money can't buy. Lord, when you've given anybody as much treasure as you've given me that money can't buy, surely I wouldn't start trying to pinch pennies with you. Lord, bless this people. Bless them in the coming days. And may their homes, their lives, and this church be strengthened because of principles of stewardship. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand with me. The altar is open. If you would like to respond...